Psalm 60. I took the title from verse 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. A flag, you know, a banner is a flag that we fight under. We rally around the flag. And after I get to this part, but the banner that we have been given is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our banner that we rally around and that we fight the good fight of faith. But here in the beginning of this psalm, David has taken the throne. As you see up in the heading, it's another miktam. It's another golden psalm. And this psalm was written when Joab, it says, returned and smote of Edom in the Valley of Salt 12,000. Joab was one of David's main captain at the time. And David has taken the throne. Saul has died. Saul and his three sons have been killed in the battle at Gilboa, and there was a great slaughter there. And what a mess. What a mess Saul made of things. Just like Adam. What a mess Adam made of things. Look at this world and the mess it's in. All the killing, all the hatred, all the sinful vices that you can even think of, even that's unimaginable, all came from that one act of rebellion, that first Adam. And here David is, he has taken the throne. Saul and his three sons are dead. And David now has got to fight the Philistines and these surrounding nations that are around them. Because when they had killed Saul, you can go to 1 Samuel and read the last chapter, they took over these places. The Philistines took these places over. David's now taking them back, not trying to. Just like our Lord is not trying to save. David's taking them back. And this is what's going on here. Saul's conduct brought the heavy hand of God on Israel. And now here, under the authority of David, Israel is being brought back together. Unity. There's unity. And they just like our greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ. In him we are one. There's unity in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were divided in Adam. Sin divides us. Sin separates us. But in Christ we are one. Now he says here, and there are so many things to bring out. You know, when I look at these psalms, I honestly scratch my head. And I think, now which part do I want to deal with? Because the psalm deals with Christ. The psalm deals with us in Christ. It deals with God the Father. There's so much dealt with in the psalms. And you and I can read these psalms over and over and over, and we can see more and more and more in them. So one of the first couple things here I want to look at before we get to the main topic, which is Christ our banner, is this. He says, David says in verse 1, O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. Oh, turn thyself to us again. But thou hast been displeased. And my thoughts were, as I read this, we can displease God by our conduct. The scripture says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. God was grieved by their conduct, by Saul's conduct and what he caused Israel to do and their conduct. We can displease God. You know, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him, and he had this testimony. What was that? He pleased God. So we can displease God, and when you really sit down and you think about that, you pray, Lord, help me to walk in a manner that's pleasing in your sight. I mean that. Help me to walk in a way, help me to talk in a way when I'm in my home, when I'm out there in public, help me to do so in a way that's honoring to you. Help me to do that. As children can displease their parents by their conduct, so can we displease our Heavenly Father. But here's the good news. God has one son that never displeased him. God has one son that always pleased him. He said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear ye him. Hear what he has to say. Listen to him." Every time we open this book, and every time we read the Word of God, listen to Him. He's speaking. He's speaking. And I tell you, this just made me have some real comfort here to know and understand that I have a brother, a representative, a surety that has always pleased God on my behalf. God was never displeased with him. And then the second thing I could see here in verse number one, he said, "Thou hast cast us off." You know, when under the hand of the chastening rod of God, we usually misunderstand it, don't we? We usually misunderstand God's dealings with us. God has not cast off his people. That's what Paul says in Romans. Has God cast off his people? He says, no, he hasn't cast off his people. There is no way that God will cast off those for whom Jesus Christ died for. That can't happen. It cannot happen. God would sooner not exist than to cast off his people. But we usually misunderstand it, just like we misunderstand our parents discipline us. We think they don't like us. No. If it's proper discipline, they're doing it because they love us. And this is out of love. God never casts off those whom he loves. And he says here in verse 2, "Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh." Here's what we see. Here's what sin causes. Sin causes division. "Thou hast broken." He said, thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. This is division. This is what sin causes. Sin never unites. Sin always causes division. The scripture says your sins have separated you from God. And the very reason that the earth he speaks of here to tremble and you've broken it is over sin. It's over sin. Sometimes also here the chastening rod is so difficult it makes everything seem unsettled. Sometimes God disciplines his children so in such a way that it makes everything unsettled. It's hard to deal with. And David tasted that. The sword never left his house. You go read what his son did to his daughter, and then Absalom tried to take him off the throne. I mean, you know how heartrending that had to be? Sometimes, because of our sin, God has to deal with us in such a way that it's just unsettling. I want to read something here to you. Let me find it. It's out of Haggai. I've marked it because I know you'll have a hard time finding it. It's in 1167, if you want to follow. If you have the same book I've got, I know you have the same Bible I've got. Do you know what I mean? In chapter 1, I've been reading Haggai, and I thought, there's a message here, but I need to read it some more. But there's something here that's nagging at me. But here, listen, in chapter 1, verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your way. Isn't that something we should always do? We should always consider our ways. We should consider our steps. We should consider every decision we make. We should weigh it and pray about it and think about it and seek the Lord about it and wait on the Lord for it. Now, therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, listen to this. You have sown much. You've sown much. You've plowed the garden and you've sown much and you bring in little. Bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a hole with bags. He said, do you not understand? He's saying to them, do you not understand what's going on? The Lord is disciplining them and they don't even recognize. They're not considering what's going on. They're being disciplined. God is keeping the harvest from being much of a harvest. And yet they're not considering their ways. They're not considering, why is this happening? What's going on here? They're just thinking it's bad weather. You know, we just had a drought this summer. Well, there's a reason for the drought. There's a reason for everything. There's a spiritual reason for absolutely everything that goes on in our lives. Everything. And I tell you this, there's a form of chastening in all the trials that we go through. You know, you can just pick a day in my life. You can pick a minute in my life and the Lord can chasten me. He could chasten me. And in every trial, I realize this now that I've gotten older. Every trial that God will put me through or you through, there's a form of discipline in it, chastening in it. And then he says here in verse 3, thou hast showed thy people hard things. Hard things. Notice how David traces their hardship back to its source. God. He didn't say the Philistines showed them hard things. The Philistines killed a lot of them. I mean, there's a lot of Israelites killed by the Philistines in the war. He didn't say the Philistines did that. When Job lost his 10 children and he lost everything he had, did he blame Satan? Did he blame anybody? He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's the first cause of all things. And that's what David traces their hardship back to God, back to its source. Nothing happens by chance. All our afflictions are sin of God, all of them. And we should sit down and consider our ways when these things come. And when we recognize this, we are to turn and flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I thought about this before coming down from my study. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. One of the hardest things that God could show us, and here he's talking about trials. They died. Many of them died, like I said, in the war. But to put this in a real spiritual sense, the hard things is when God shows me who I am. I mean, really. Not just say, well, that's what the Bible says. No, you really experience something of because you and I couldn't experience the full-blown view of what we really are. We couldn't handle that. But for God to show us who and what we are, to show us our sins, these are hard things to see. You know, here's a hard thing. There's none good, no, not one, even you. even me. We don't like to think of ourselves as not good in any way, shape, or form. I mean, surely there's something good. No, there's nothing good. And to realize that in God's sight, you and I are like a running sore in God's sight. That's what it says in Isaiah. That's what it says. That's hard on this flesh. We don't like to think of those things like that about ourselves. These are hard things. Our enmity against God, that's hard things. And thou hast showed thy people hard things. He says there in verse 3, and thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. We are that sinful. We have drank the wine of just astonished of how sinful we are. We are so sinful. Look what it took to save us. Look what it took to save me from my sins. It took God coming into this world, taking upon Him my flesh like mine, yet without sin. But God came into this world and suffered at the hands of His own justice. When you look at Calvary, and you look at that mutilated flesh hanging there on the cross, what does that say about me? Does that say I'm a pretty good fellow? No, I tell you what it says. If He wasn't hanging on that cross for me, that'd be me. That's what God thinks of me by nature. That's what God thinks of sin. And that's what I am, a sin. That's astonishing. That's astonishing. And what it took to save a wretch like me and you. He's made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Yes, we are that sinful. We are that sinful. Now, David says here, he turns, he takes a turn here. And he says in verse 4, Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. And really, the thought of it here, the one of the key thoughts is this. You've given us a banner to flee to from the archers. Now, this is the war. A war is going on. Back years ago, when they fought wars, there would be one man carrying a banner. It'd be one man with a flag. And they rallied around that flag. They fought around that flag. And David is saying that those who fear thee, you've given them a banner to flee to from the archers. Where is it you and I flee to in time of trouble? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's our banner. God said His banner over us is love. We flee to Him because He loves us. He died for us. He's our surety. He's everything we need. He's our refuge. He's our high tower. He's our banner. So David here, let's look at this. David here turns his thoughts to what God's given to them that fear Him. This is not to everybody. This is not to everyone. This banner is not to everyone. It's to them that fear God. It's to them that fear God. If you fear God, God's given you a banner to flee to rally around. God has given us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in which to fight under. When we fight under when our army went to war, it fought under the banner of the United States flag, the flag of the United States of America. We fight under the banner of the gospel, which is Christ. Christ is the gospel. He's the gospel. And we fight under Him, under His banner. We are joined to Him. He's our guide. Wherever He moves, we move. You know, wherever the banner is, that's where the army is. That's where they are. Someone said, I was reading, he said, where you would find the most body parts in the field of battle, where you'd find the most arms and legs and bodies, and that's where the banner was, because that's where they got around and tried to protect it. They tried to protect that banner, that flag, because that said who they were. And they said that's where you find the most body parts is around that banner. You knew where the banner was during that war, because that's where the most body parts were. And we fight under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And seeing that God has given us the banner of the gospel, it's evident. Now, this is evident to me that God is for us. God is for us. He's given, he says here, thou hast given a banner. This banner is of God. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. He is our banner. This banner is our God. This banner is the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Isaiah 11. In Isaiah 11, in verse 10. Isaiah 11, verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. That's a banner. Shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. That ensign that the Gentiles seek is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who gave him? God gave him. God gave us that banner. He gave us that banner to rally around. That's what we're doing this evening, isn't it? We are rallying around the gospel. That's what we're doing right now. The banner is flying right now. As I speak here of the Lord Jesus Christ, the banner is flying. It's being held up. It's being lifted up. Now, that's what you do with a banner in battle, isn't it? You know, if you're going to rally around the banner, you know, somebody's got to be holding it up. You've got to be holding it up for the men to see it. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me, he said. But it's got to be lifted up. But I tell you something else about that banner being lifted up. The person who lifts it up, he's got to be one of the bravest in the crowd, because I tell you why. He's the one they want to kill. They want to shoot that guy holding the flag. They don't, you know, they may not, they were trying to shoot everybody else, but they definitely want to shoot that man with the flag. They want that flag to drop. That's what they want. We rally around the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, and we fight the good fight of faith around him. He's our message. He's our banner. He's everything. He's everything. Now, it says this banner is given to them that fear God, that fear thee, that fear thee. If we fear God, then we have nothing else to fear, right? We have nothing else to fear. If God has given us the banner, if he's given us his son, what do we have to fear? The victory's already won. I can't lose. The victory's won. The battle's already, we know this, the battle's won. When he cried, "It's finished," he got the victory. He got the victory. Our victory is seated at God's right hand. That's where our victory is, seated at God's right hand. And right now, every believer is seated at God's right hand in Christ. As I said, this banner is to be displayed. That's what he says there. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Turn over to Isaiah 13. In Isaiah 13, verse 2, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Put it up there where all the children of God can see it. And listen, put it up there where all the enemies of God can see the banner that we fight under. We fight under the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in a warfare. Now, this is a warfare that we are in until we die. You know, we're not just trying to live right and die and then go to heaven. We are in a warfare, a spiritual warfare. And there's nothing that Satan would like more than to destroy this congregation and every other congregation that preaches the gospel. It's a warfare going on. You know, when I look at the world now, when I look at the news, if I watch the news, if I turn it on, when I look at the world, I don't look at it. I'm telling you the truth. I don't look at it at all as men against men or nation against nation or China against the United States. I look at it as the warfare, a spiritual warfare that's going on. And I ask myself, what is God doing? What's God doing? This is His world. It's His world. It doesn't belong to us. It's His. It's His. He said, lift this banner upon a high mountain for everybody to see it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's right. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And those who are not ashamed of the gospel will lift that banner up. They will lift up Christ. I don't care if you'll lift Him up at work. You'll lift Him up out in wherever you are. You will lift up Christ. Because you're not ashamed of your banner. You're not ashamed of the banner you fight under. Those who are ashamed of this country, I wish they'd find one to live in that they'd like. And leave this one. If you don't like fighting under this banner, go to find you one you do like. And that's the same thing about spiritual warfare. We fight under the banner of Christ. We are not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not ashamed of Him. We're not ashamed of His gospel. And Paul told Timothy, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, and don't be ashamed of me, the Lord's servant. We hold it up to a high mountain. Our Lord said this, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Carry the banner. Just like Walter carrying the banner in Mexico. And Lance carrying it in New Guinea. You know, wherever we go, carry it. Wherever we go, wherever God leads us, carry the banner. Carry it. Let it be known. Let it be known whose you are. And here's another reason why he says, because of truth. Because of truth. This is the truth. What I'm telling you is the truth. There's no other way. There's no other way to get the truth except the Word of God. Apart from the Word of God, there's no truth. This is truth. And truth is to be proclaimed. The message we have to proclaim is truth. God said over in Revelation chapter 3, 14, 19, 11, and 21, 5, and 22, 6, write these things, for this is true and faithful and true saying, true and faithful saying. Write it down. He's telling John, write it down. What I've told you, this is true and faithful. It's going to happen. You can stake your life on it. I was saying to Vicki the other day, was watching something, and it was showing, you know, it was just animated, but it was showing the world. It was a remake of that song, In the Year 2525. You know, you older people have heard that, I know. Well, there's a remake on that. Anyway, it's an updated version. but anyway, it goes out to like 2095 or whatever. But it shows the earth disintegrating. And I was saying to Vic, I said, can you imagine that's really going to happen? That one day this earth is not going to be here? I mean, it's really going to disintegrate? So that's hard to comprehend. But it's so. It's so. Just because I can't comprehend something doesn't mean it's not so, because I tell you, there wouldn't hardly be anything so if it depended on me comprehending it. It's just so. It is so, though. God has given us His Word, and we have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to proclaim it. And He says here in verse 5, that thy beloved may be delivered. God delivers us into truth. Now, if God delivered this beloved in the truth, he can deliver another beloved in the truth. There's more beloveds out there. He says there in verse 5, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and hear me. And that word is victory. Get the victory. He's asking God, get the victory. There's nothing that David wanted more than to see God get the victory over his enemies. Not because David could step back and say, see, I told you, but that God would be glorified. God would be glorified. Now look here in verse 6 through 8. God has spoken in his holiness. And one translation said, God has spoken in his promises. The scripture says all the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. God has spoken in his holiness, in his promises. But God's promises are holy promises, aren't they? You see, God is holy. The actual meaning of that means other than. God is other than we are. We are sinful. God is light. We are what? Darkness. But God is holy. He can do no wrong. And what he has said, he will do. He's spoken in his holiness. He's given a promise to save us. Christ said, come to me, all you labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's a promise. God has spoken that. And he's spoken that in his holiness. And because God is holy, and because he has spoken to us in his promises, we can rejoice. That's what David said. I will rejoice. Don't you like the confidence of that? Don't you like the confidence? Here's faith. David is really setting forth faith here. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. God has spoken in his promises, and I'll rejoice. Don't you expect to do that? Do you not expect at the end of this life to rejoice? Because of the promises that God has given you and me in Jesus Christ. I expect to rejoice. I do. And I will divide Shechem and meet out the valley of Succoth. Remember, these are two places that Jacob lighted in when he was on his journey, these two places. But here's something interesting. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. It's not the Philistines. They don't belong to them. There's not a nation on this earth that belongs to themselves. They belong to God. Gilead's mine. Don't get beside yourself and think, you know, this has been taken over and we've lost it. No, it's all God's. He ain't lost anything. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is mine. See, all these that he's speaking of here are Israelites. These are all Israel. These are Israel. He hasn't lost Israel. He's not going to lose one member of the church, of his body. He's not going to lose any of them. Judah's my lawgiver. Christ. Moab, this was the enemy of Israel. Edom and the Philistines, these were the enemies of Israel. He said, Moab is my washpot. Moab's my wash. They're servants. You know what happened? If you read 2 Samuel, I think chapter 5 and then in chapter 8, David takes them back. David takes them over. David goes in and takes over Moab. And you know what he makes out of them? Servants. They become servants to Israel. He's my washpot. Moab, my washpot over Edom. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me? And actually, over, you know, it's triumph thou over me. And it says over my margin, it's said in as an irony. You triumph over me? I don't think so. I don't think so. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who's going to bring me to heaven? From this place of sin and corruption, from this body of sin and corruption, Who's going to take me into the presence of God? Jesus Christ, His Son. And He's going to take me there. He's going to take you, all those whom He saves, He's going to take us there. And He's going to present us without spot or blemish, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Who shall bring me into the strong city? Not my army. David's the king now. He has the army behind him. He has more than just 600 men now. He's got his army behind him, but he says, they're not going to be the ones to bring me into the strong city. It's God who's going to do it. David realized that his army was nothing more than a sword in God's hand. God uses whom He will. If God uses me, I'm just an instrument in God's hand. But God is the one. Can the axe brag on cutting down a tree? No, he didn't. The axe was just in my hand. That's all we are. We're instruments in the hands of God. And I thank God He uses us as instruments of righteousness, as instruments to preach the gospel. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? My Lord. My Lord. Wilt not thou, O God, that's what he says, wilt not thou, O God, which has cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies? First of all, he did, or all of you be dead. And if he didn't go out, the whole Israel be gone. There wouldn't be one left. But God has a remnant. See, God has a remnant. And God has a remnant in every generation, in every age. But sometimes he allows us to go through some hard things because we need to. We get a little too full of ourselves. A little too often. Lord, give us help from trouble. For vain is the help of man. Salvation's of the Lord. I'll tell you something. Eternal salvation's of the Lord. And whatever your situation you're in right now, salvation's of the Lord. And if you get stuck in the mud, salvation's of the Lord. If you get stuck in a hardship, salvation's of the Lord. In every situation, salvation's of the Lord. Now, He may use men, but don't get caught up with men. You know, sometimes we get caught up with the package and we forget who gave us the package. Give us help from trouble, for vain's the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly. That word valiantly is courageous, bold. Through God we shall do valiantly. We'll do great things. We ought to expect great things of a great God, shouldn't we? When was it that Samson was strong? That's when the Spirit of God came upon him. And then he did valiant things. It's through God we shall do valiantly. Paul said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, I realize this, and I know you as believers realize it, but too often we forget it. Too often we forget it. But I know that in myself, I don't have the strength to even get out of bed. I really don't. If God didn't give me the physical strength to get up and get out of bed, I wouldn't be able to do it. There's some who can't. There's some who can't even step upon a curb. I know that. But I also know this. I know that in Jesus Christ, through Christ, I can do all things. I can do all things. I don't think there's a thing in this world, there's a thing under the sun I cannot do if it's the Lord's will for me to do it. You know, when you read the story of Samson, How many did he kill with the jawbone of an ass? Was it 10,000 or 1,000? 10,000, something like that. It's in the thousands. It says he killed that many with the jawbone of an ass. I couldn't kill that many with a machine gun. And he did it with the jawbone of an ass. Can you imagine that? You say, that's unbelievable. Well, that's why faith is a gift of God. Because what we believe is unbelievable. It's beyond things we've experienced. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things. Victory over sin, over Satan, over death is in Christ our banner. We have a banner to rally around, to fight under, to go forth under. We have a banner, the Lord Jesus Christ. And victory is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our enemies are great, but our God is greater. Our God is greater. All right.